Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget
who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord, who works vindication and justice for all who are opposed, has made known God's ways to Moses, God's acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord will not always chide, nor harbor anger forever.
The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the Lord's steadfast love toward the faithful.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us.
As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to the faithful.
For the Lord knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust.
As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more.
But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon the faithful, and the righteousness of the Lord to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments.
This is the inspired word of God.
Thanks be to God.
In my younger years, I worked at a Girl Scout camp in Clear Lake. I attended there as a camper, was a counselor in training at this camp. Gertie is actually named after the camp director of that camp, who was a wise, wise woman. I always say she was my oldest friend, because when I met her, she was 68, and when she passed away, she was 94, and she was one of my very, very dear friends. And she actually is one of the people that formed me to be the human being that I am today, and for that I am grateful. If you're on Facebook with me, you may have seen a few weeks ago that I was actually at said camp for a counselor reunion, because the camp turned 70 years old. One of the things about that camp is that when I go back, and it's been 30 some years since I was a counselor there, I can go back to that camp and it feels like home. One of the most amazing things about this camp is it is a singing camp. And what that means is there's a song for everything. I'm not kidding. There's a song for everything. And so at camp, we stand behind our chairs and we sing our grace before every meal. We have songs that we sing after we're done eating. We have and there's songs to sing after breakfast, and there's songs to sing after lunch, and songs to sing after supper. They're different ones. You don't sing morning songs at night. And then there are a whole host of campfire songs, really impacted greatly by the songs of the 70s, some of Peter, Paul, and Mary and those songs, and lots of other songs. And so I can, when somebody has a topic or we're in a situation, there's almost no occasion that I can't think of a song for. You know, give me a topic, you can test me on this later if you want. Give me a topic and I can probably sing you a song. That's how much we sang at this camp. Some of the quieter campfire songs were the lullabies that I sang to my children and now sing to my granddaughter. And I just watch her melt into my arms with those same lullabies that put her father to sleep. These songs are one of the deepest parts of me, and they're always present. In a way, there is always a song in my heart. Today's psalm is a psalm of praise. In fact, the word psalm means song. And so if you were actually to open up the Bible to the psalms, you'll see that they are formatted differently. They're not formatted in paragraphs. They're formatted in shorter sentences because they are written in the format of a song. Now, whatever the tunes that went with that song are, songs are long gone, but they're still written in this sort of song way of going. The Psalms were written, and Gail talked about this being one of David's Psalms, and David did need to have some of his stuff erased. He was a great leader, and he made some bad choices. But for the Hebrew people, which is most of these Psalms were written by the Hebrew people, they share what is at the soul level of their life. So the things that are going on in their lives show up in these Psalms at the soul level. Psalms were shared, and they brought joy, and Psalms also talked about the sorrow. And there are a lot of Psalms that have joy and sorrow in the same songs. It might go back and forth, joy and sorrow, joy and sorrow. Much can be learned about people from their music, and even among ourselves. So songwriters, we can learn what is important to songwriters, and we can learn from each other on the music that we like to listen to and the music that we like to sing. Music is one of those avenues that helps us understand at the very deep convictions and level of the soul. And that's why one of the reasons we actually take pretty great care each week choosing the music that goes into the worship service so that it enhances the message and the theme of the worship service. Anybody understand why we sang On Eagle's Wings? Anybody make a connection to the scripture? Notice that was kind of part of the scripture, our prayers on the wings of eagles. And so a lot of work goes into it. And I'm not naive believing that you hear every word of my sermon. So I'm not naive. And so if you can understand the message of the service and the message of the sermon in other ways, in the songs and in the children's time, if you don't get it in the sermon, hopefully you got it in the kids' time, right? With the whiteboard. With the visuals that we have, we try to convey the message that is at the heart of the worship experience. What makes today's song or song of praise so amazing is the way that it shows God's love. Many theologians for centuries have actually glorified Psalm 103 as one of the great masterpieces in the Bible. Just like a masterpiece of writing, a masterpiece of a work of art, this is a masterpiece of the people of God sharing what God is to them, who God is to them. Again, verses 12 and 13 in the scripture, it says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west," east is from the west, "so far God removes our transgressions from us." God forgives us, taking our sin as far as the east is from the west. And I'm not sure if you've ever thought of it, but if you go east, you're never going west, right? You just keep going east, around and around, okay? And if you go west, same thing, right? You just keep going around and around. East and west never meet. Okay, just because it's a globe, because it's a circular globe. It's just not possible. And so that's a powerful image about what God does with our sins. God casts them as far as the east is from the west. And because they never meet, how far does God cast them? Eternity, right? Can't even measure it. It's so far. Not only does God forgive us, God casts away our sins and removes them completely. Just like the whiteboard was erased, that was sort of a visual image. God removes our sin, okay? Once we ask for forgiveness, God forgives us, removes our sin, and it's gone. And that's what this praise is. It's worth praising God. It's worth putting a song in our hearts about what God does for our sins, because we're sinners, all of us. Nothing we can ever do, nothing we can ever do can keep us from God. Be assured that if you come to God and ask for forgiveness, know for certain that you are forgiven. Know for certain. You don't even have to wonder, because God promises to forgive us. It's probably one of the first things we learn when we became a Christ follower is that God forgives our sins. We say, hey, God, forgive me. I'm so, so very, very sorry. It's as if we never sinned. Not to say, like with the kids, that in the next moment, in the next hour, in the next day, we sin again, right? Right? That's who we are. We continue to sin because there's always sin and there will always be sin. And so every time we sin, we need to ask God for forgiveness. We need to receive it. And then it's as if we never sinned. Kind of simple, right? But is it? Because we worry, right? We don't forget our own sins sometimes. And we don't forget sins of other people sometimes, right? So we may say we forgive, but we're not very good at forgetting, right? Who has trouble forgetting? Right? Right, we do. We have trouble forgetting. But God forgets. A little bit later in the worship service, we're gonna sing a song, and it's gonna actually be a YouTube video. And Zoe, if you'll go to the next slide. These are some words from that song. Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in our sea of forgetfulness. So you're forgetting, forgetting, forgetting. The chains of yesterday surround me, and I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. Who stays awake thinking about all those things that you did or the things that other people did to you? Anybody? Come on. You stay awake, right? You do. You stay awake and you think about those things. But God is saying you don't need to, okay? But we drown in our sea of forgetfulness. We drown in the fact that we forget that God forgives us. We forget that God casts it as far as the east is from the west. Like the Psalms of old, these words are at the very soul of the writer. This is Casting Crowns, so it's at their very soul, at their very being. The writer is saying, I forget, God, that you've done this really amazing, everlasting thing. And there's even this pleading, as we sing that song, there's even this pleading with God, help me to remember that you've cast my sins. The Psalms that we find in the Bible, there's lots of them, provide assurance for us. They assure us that God lets go of our sin, but God never lets go of us. Hear that again. God lets go of our sin, but God never lets go of us. That's God's promise. God forever holds us, even when we sin, even when we do things that we are not proud of, even though we have done things that have hurt other people. If we ask for forgiveness, God holds us and casts away our sin. I invite you to trust God and to praise God in all things. And let the song in your heart be the assurance of knowing that God holds you, that God forgives you, and that God forgets your sin. As you take that with you, I invite you to take that to your relationships, where you also need to maybe do some forgetting. Even if you've forgiven, there's still forgetting that needs to happen. And sometimes you got to do it day after day after day after day, right? Because some of the hurt that we have experienced is hard to forget. But let God help you do that. I'm going to have another slide go up. This is part of Psalm 103 from the Message. Here are the words again. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back full for wrongs. As far as sunrise is from sunset, God has separated us from our sins. God's promises are true. Amen.